Morning. It's good to be with you this morning. The elders asked me to present a report on the trip that several of us took to Mexico just a few weeks ago from July the 10th through the 20th. And I'm certainly not speaking as the authority here. This is my first time to go on anything like this, and certainly my first time to this area of Mexico, Chiapas. All that in mind, I'm going to share a perspective that most of you would have if you went, and I would certainly, if you ever have the opportunity, go. In Acts chapter 18, verse 23, we read, "And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples." And if I could pick a verse to represent what we were trying to do, it was this. Not exactly like Paul. He established those churches. They were very young, and so they needed that strength as he came back through and tried to continue to build them up. This is not that exact situation, but that was our objective. We were not necessarily trying to go out and convert the masses or anything like that. It's just go and visit churches, visit brethren, and try to strengthen them in any way that we could. In chapter 15 and verse 3, we read, "Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren." And that's what I hope happens this morning. Not that we saw initial conversions, but what we saw was the effect of conversion to Christ. And it's continued working in the lives of those that we met, the brethren there. This, in context, was in the midst of some turmoil in the church where there were Judaizing teachers trying to force the Gentiles essentially to become Jews in order to be saved. And so they're going down to Jerusalem to reconcile the situation. But this is what happened on their way. Is Paul and those with him were telling about what God was doing among the Gentiles. And everyone rejoiced when they heard of the work that God did and how the Gentiles had given themselves to the Lord. And that is our focus this morning. In Acts chapter 21, verses 19 through 20, we read, "After he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they began glorifying Paul? No. Began glorifying the Gentiles? No. They began glorifying God." And that's what I hope we do this morning. We're going to talk a lot about people and the good work and the wonderful things that we saw in the brethren there. But it is not to glorify them. It is to glorify the God who worked that in them. Some disclaimers already mentioned. This is a very new experience to me. And this is primarily my point of view. There are others who traveled with us who had gone to the same place a year before or to other places like it. So the whole trip, the whole experience was very new to myself and to Annie. So please talk to the others and we'll show you who all went, who traveled as well. I'm going to try not to make generalizations. And I thought about this during the trip and afterwards, that we went and we met with brethren and saw what Mexican brethren are like. I don't know what the rest of the Mexican population is like. In fact, I don't even know what all of the brethren are like because there are only a few that I could talk to a lot because they spoke English. A few others, we spoke a little bit of Spanish and got to know each other a little bit, but my viewpoint is very much on a select few individuals. And you can perhaps extrapolate to a broader population, but I won't try to do that too much. It was a unique situation, and I try to recognize that. You know, when you go on vacation, sometimes it's hard to come home. You enjoy it so much if it's a good vacation. And in a way, it was. We were working, but we had just this one. Our whole focus, our whole existence was about this work. And when we interacted with brethren, it was about that. But they also have day jobs, and we have day jobs. And so I recognize that what we experienced is not the day-to-day. It's if it could be like that all the time, there or here, we would probably all see life a little differently. But it can't. We do have jobs to go back to. We have things to do to continue through this life. So I recognize that. This maybe approaches more of an ideal. If we could just set aside all the cares of this world and focus on one thing, and that's the kingdom, then that was kind of what this opportunity was. And maybe that gives us a glimpse of the more we can move towards that, the better. And I tried to be accurate with my details. I took a lot of notes throughout the trip. Some of these might be a little bit off. Some names of places, exact sequences of events, I think are pretty close. But the general truths still hold. And then pronunciations. I've been working a lot on my Spanish, my pronunciation. And even when I'm speaking English sometimes these days, I'll start using Spanish pronunciation. So I don't know how I'm going to say the names and some other words. I may go back and forth between East Texas and whatever my version of Spanish is. So just bear with me on that. So an overview of what we want to talk about this morning, the work that we did, a little bit of logistics and background so you can understand the nature of it, the places that we visited, and what we did. You sent us with a lot of people helped with funds for the trip and encouragement and prayers, and so we felt sent, and so I think we kind of owe you a report, if you will, of how it went, or what we did with the support that you provided. I'll relate to you a few names. These are so meaningful for those of us who know them, but it'll help to this person, you can see where we're talking to them, or they did this throughout the storyline. And then woven in there, I want to relate four key experiences that I had that show what God is doing in Chiapas. If there is time at the end, there will also be some lessons learned. If not, I'll just push some of those off to maybe a Wednesday night talk or something like that. Okay, so the people that you sent, so Adam, Brooklyn, and Grayson Dell. Brooklyn's a member at Twin City, but a lot of us know her. Myself and Annie and Lainey and Parker. And the people in these, actually two pictures, Elver was not in the right combination of people for this picture, so I had to put him in from another one. But that's Elver. He's in the background a lot, working very hard, but doesn't want to be in the limelight. So Elver was our host, our guide, our translator for sermons and just general interactions in daily life. A wonderful servant of God. He preaches there. We stayed with him, and his nephew, Matias, lives there as well. So we all crashed it at their house. And then we have the family with the labels in not green. It's kind of pink. So Dari is the father and his wife, Blanca, and their twins who are 20 years old, Shaylee and Yosmar. And their younger one, who just turned 17, Evelyn. A wonderful family, wonderful people. We got to travel along with them all throughout and get to know them well and what kind of people they are, and they're high quality people. We visited, 9 churches. And some of them, we were based out of San Cristobal here at number 2. This is far south Mexico, further south than parts of Guatemala, but very close to Guatemala, in the state of Chiapas. And they see it. They have some state pride. It's a bit like Texas. They were once an independent nation. So Chiapas is the area there, very fairly rural. There are some larger cities, and San Cristobal is like Bryan College Station in population, but then a lot of it's just rural, undeveloped around there. Or undeveloped in terms of cities and a lot of infrastructure and things like that. So we traveled to all these different churches and different areas. This area out here, when I talk about Huaca, there is a church called the Huaca Church, but then there are other, it's a whole region, or think of it like a county. So that's out there. And then these various churches, it took us 2 hours to get to most of them. This area, just I guess because of the roads, took longer to get to, 4 to 5 hours. So it gives you a sense of the spread here. Our goal was primarily to go out to meet with churches, especially in the rural areas, who don't get to see other Christians a lot. From America or anywhere else, really, even in Mexico, they're remote, and so they very much are encouraged by knowing there are other brethren out there. So Thursday most of the time we were based in San Cristobal, staying with Elber, and for three days we were out in Jawaca and stayed with a family there. When we would arrive at a church, that's when we found out who was going to preach. So all the men were ready, and the young ladies they had a little bit of notice whether there would be a children's class or a ladies' class, but they were still also, is a lot of be prepared and make it work. It was definitely a theme that permeates the culture in Mexico, is make it work, and they did. Worship services were similar to what we have, songs, prayers, as you would expect, right? Order slightly different, but really, it didn't feel strange or out of place there. So, going through these cities, the first place we went, I just found out if I'm correct on this spelling, what this one is, La Reinsar. This was the so we arrived late Friday night, and we went here Saturday evening and met with the brethren there. So initially we're going to their church building location, but right outside of it, in kind of a wide alleyway, there was a religious ceremony, festival, something going on. The locals described it as idolatrous. I think it was possibly Catholic, but there is an intermingling between the Christian religions, if you will, and the ancient Mayan religions. A lot of pagan things are woven together. In fact, in this area, Acts 17, verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. He didn't see idols everywhere, but as we were driving out to this place, Yosmar said, this city that we're going through is kind of, have you heard of it? It's kind of well known. They would have animal sacrifices as part of rituals. It sounded like they aren't doing that anymore, but I was like, well, what is the name of this place? I can't find it. So I started searching that, and I came up with the city we drove through. So there's that kind of background that some of these brethren are from that indigenous kind of background. I don't know their personal stories, but that's the society. That's the culture they come from. Pagan ideas woven into variations of Christian teaching. So this festival is going on. They had like loud mariachi kind of bands playing, and I was first up to preach, and I figured I'm just going to go in a coma after that, after trying to lock in and do that. But we went to one of the family's houses just a couple of blocks away and met there. This brother, this is his house, and I can't point him out in this picture. I don't see him in the picture, but he has a business, at least part of it. He rents vehicles out, and he gave us the van that we use to go to all these different places for free. And that's a really big deal. Everything that was done for us is a really big deal in terms of what the people sacrificed to show hospitality, to show their love, and to help us in the work that we were doing. So we met there. I preached. Brooklyn taught the children's class, and the other girls would help her, whoever was teaching it, the others would help the students with the activities. They had a lesson on the days of creation that they would go over. This is our first taste of fellowship with the Mexican brethren in worship and of their hospitality. So we broke bread together, converted the meeting place to an eating place, and just enjoyed our time together. As the eating was wrapping up, they wanted the Americans to sing, so we sang some songs that they know in Spanish. And we sang in English, but they have versions in Spanish. And then they sang some, and we would sing alternating verses and sometimes joining together for the chorus. People who are, it's a very broad and true statement, have almost nothing in common. We had everything in common that mattered. And that made it stand out so much. We have so much in common that the thing that matters can get lost. The only thing that matters was everything that we had in common. And so that just came to the forefront and was the relationship. That is, continues to be the relationship. So what God is doing in Chiapas, first experience, sharing stories from the field of work in the vineyard. So on the return from Lorenzo, this is our first trip out. We traveled with Elver and Matias and Dari and his family. So we're still getting to know them, especially those of us who are first time to that area. So Annie and I sat in the back seat of the van, and Dari's daughters, Shaylee and Evelyn, sat next to us. And Shaylee has a very good command of the English language, which worked very well for us. So we talked to her for hours on end. And very quickly, we started talking about our experiences in trying to share the gospel with others. And she was the first one to share an experience. If I remember right, it was with a fellow student at the university. And, you know, she was able to teach them some, and then, things, they weren't together anymore, so the opportunity kind of went away, or the interest went away. And so I wanted to encourage her that just keep plugging away. You don't know what seeds, you're planting seeds, you don't know when they might grow. It might be years from now. And so then I related the story of Felix and how, you know, he came here, he heard the gospel, and then went off, and then a couple years later, he became a Christian. So we shared our gospel sharing stories. And then Shaylee shared another one. And then she shared another one and another one. I think it was about four on that one ride, and I doubt that's all of them. Kind of person that she is. So this was a friend from school and maybe another friend from school who we'll get to talk about later, who can use your prayers, is interested in the gospel but has family opposition. Her name's Laura. Anyway, talking about these people, their family they bake. They bake good baked goods. She would be out selling those, and there was a man, I think, if I understood her correctly, he was a beggar, and she would give him food sometimes. And worked that to be an opportunity to share the gospel with him. So she brought him and had a Bible study with her dad. I'm guessing with their whole family, but, you know, brought him to study with her dad and had a series of studies. He was Seventh-day Adventist, I think, and then described how that went and how he was locked into his beliefs and, you know, they were locked into what the Bible teaches and just some of the heartaches of that. Studying with Mormons, missionaries, with Jehovah's Witnesses. Some similar experiences that some of you have had here. But that was getting to know Shaylee. But it wasn't just Shaylee. She didn't just pop out, do this out of the blue. It was a heritage. She would talk about, when I go with my dad to study, and I think that's their whole family, but, you know, just her dad was this thread running through it, Dari. So I learned a lot about him. He speaks very little English. He drove us, some of us, from the airport, and about the only conversation we had was me telling him that Sam is 40, Annie is 90 in Spanish, and then getting that worked out. But it was very limited, and his English is very limited. My Spanish is not much better. But I learned a lot about him because of her. Evelyn was sitting on the far side, so we just didn't talk with her as much. But Dari is a lesson for us. I think there's one decision that really highlights it, but this is not the decision I'm talking about here. He was a taxi driver, and that's a good job, a stable job, good income. But he could not be with his family much, not the way he wanted to be. And so he quit that job and worked, and they're doing the baking. He doesn't like it, but it allows him to do the most important thing, which is to be working in the kingdom and do that with his family. And the evidence was so rich of what that did. Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33 says, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." That's what Dari did. And we saw the fruit of that. And it wasn't, I don't think it was just that one decision. That was a reflection of a decision that he made to lead his house, to choose to serve the Lord with his house. And God did that. This sounds like praise for Dari and Shaylee. This is praise for God. And I Annie and I have kept up with Shaylee. She's teaching us Spanish, and I told her what angle I was going to take on that, and she said, "That's right. Like, this is what it should be. This is praising God, glorifying God for what he did." So in San Cristobal, that's where we met on Sunday. It ended up being, or it was two Sundays and a Wednesday when we were there. First Sunday, I preached in the morning. Brooklyn taught the children's class afterwards, and then Adam preached in the evening. On Wednesday, Grayson and Parker preached, and then on the second Sunday, Adam preached another sermon. He had one sermon he was using a lot to help Yosmar learn translating. But there was a wayward brother in the church who they were able to encourage to come. So Adam had a lesson prepared to try to encourage him. And so he's able to preach that. I led the singing in Espanol. And I just had to get them started, and they drowned me out. So it all worked out. Grayson and Parker preached a second new sermon. So they had two sermons that they were preaching, you know, throughout the week. They preached their new ones that Sunday evening. Just so everywhere, basically, if we had a service, we were going to eat together with the brethren at least once. This is children. It looks like we're masking their faces out for privacy. Those were like animal masks for the days of creation. And then, so here's Evelyn. She and Shaylee would translate for the girls during the studies. This is where they meet. It's kind of a storefront in a equivalent of our strip malls, but it has a big roll-up door. And we met with it like that, traffic going down, sound of our singing going out. And this was the largest church that we met with, 50 or 60 people perhaps. And then this is Dari's mother, Aldi, a wonderful lady. She had us in her home one morning for breakfast. Had just a wonderful time visiting with her. So what God is doing in Chiapas, experience number three. This is out of order, but topically this is where I wanted to put it. So this is in Dari's home. This is kind of, I think, their dining room. And back here is the bakery, and then upstairs is where their bedrooms and things are. So this is just another view. This couch is this couch. So this is second Sunday, hanging out after potluck, after morning services, and just kind of relaxing after a lot of hard work in Huaca. And watched the World Cup. When it finished, Dari came over, and he said, "I have two questions for you." And right now, I can't tell you if he said that in English, which just shows that he worked on it. He probably had to ask one of his kids, "How do I say this in English? I have two questions for you." Or maybe he said it in Spanish. Those are some words that I understand. So he just sat down in a chair and started talking about Jesus' prophecies in Luke 21 about, is it the destruction of Jerusalem? Is it the end of the world? What do I think about that? And so I was able to pull from our study in Matthew when Smitherman and I were exchanging the pulpit for teaching that, and some things that I had observed, conclusions I had drawn about possible dual fulfillments and things like that, going back to Daniel. So I shared what I could. It was the funnest Bible study I've ever had, between me trying to keep up with the Spanish And this was towards the end of the week, so it was getting faster. And Shaley translating when needed, reading from a bilingual Bible. It was fun. But it was really neat we talked more about that, 10 times more about that than we did any other conversation we had. The language barrier was not what was important. He wanted to talk about this because they're going to be teaching on it. And some people say Jesus was a false prophet because the way that things are described didn't come to pass, coming in the clouds and things like that. And so we had this conversation. See, I'm running tight on time, so I'm going to have to move through this so much faster than I wish I could. And he talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit somewhat. We had a Bible study there. And yes, it was fun because of just the experience. But Dari and I barely knew each other. And this is what he wanted to talk about. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are of the earth. But God did that. How do I know? Because if our minds are set on things above, it's because of what God did. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. When you think about Christ seated at the right hand of God, you want to talk about those kinds of things. The Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory. You want to talk about that. In verse 3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you died and Christ is living in your body, he is driving you, his will is your will, you're going to talk about things like that. And a lot less about stuff that doesn't matter. San Julian, Grayson Parker and I preached back to back to back. It's about 2 hours, felt like four, when you're the last preacher up. But sitting there, this is our first rural visit, four walls and a roof, some ventilation, holes. Cows outside, very rural. But the brethren sat there in these chairs for that whole time, locked in. Well, looking. I guess they were locked in. I don't know. But they endured it. And that, just think about that. It was a good visit. Lovely brethren that had us in their home. He's a fisherman, and we had some delicious tilapia. The next place we went the next night, Comitan. This is in more of a city setting, but out away from San Cristobal. Laney taught the children's class. Adam preached, which leads to our next thing that God is doing in Chiapas. I was sick and you visited me. We spent the afternoon at the Cenote Chicomotec, which is this hole. It's a sinkhole, the clearest water you've ever seen. Bright sun. Nice weather, so you didn't realize you're getting cooked. I don't know why, but on our way from there to Comitan, four of us started getting sick. I got, I think, the most sick as you can get. And that was just before services, which is why Adam preached. I was probably going to preach, but I couldn't. So some of us spent the services camped around the corner. The church building is attached to a house. And so we were just camped at the facilities using, taking turns as needed. But what stood out to me is I don't have a picture of it that I can show you, but it's in here. Sitting in the kitchen afterwards with, mostly the ladies sitting around, just kind of watching, making sure we were okay. And so that care, that love, I was sick and you visited me. They were doing that. People they didn't know or people they had just met, they loved us and sent me home, on our way with nested bags, bread bags, and a roll of toilet paper in case I needed it. Didn't end up needing it, but like even that was a sacrifice that they gave. And Jesus did that. We love because he first loved us. Oaxaca, so the region we stayed in, we stayed with this family, Francisco and Fermina and their children. The boys were always, I guess, out doing things. We didn't see them a lot, but Fabi, she was around a lot. Never seen someone smile as much as she did. just a calm, peaceful family, a nice place to rest from the work we were doing. They built this building to host travelers like us, Christians who came to that area to encourage the brethren. They put a lot of money, a lot of work into making that a place that could accommodate people who were in that area. Just an incredible thing to do. And then they fed us. And it wasn't just the things that they provided. It was their warmth, their love. The Hawaka Church, I preached. Annie taught the children's class. Ladies taught a ladies' class. This was at the just on the porch of some brethren there. Adam went and hiked with brothers to visit a family who's sick, and it was a hard, I didn't go with them, but when they got back, they were just pouring sweat. It's so humid and hot in this location. And he got laid up the next day. He sacrificed his health to go and encourage brethren. In Port Vanier, in the Hawaka region, I preached. Annie and I started working with Dari's daughters to work on some hymns, which was nice. There are brethren there who, I think, maybe all of them speak Spanish, I'm not sure, but they have an indigenous Mayan heritage, and they speak Tzeltal, and that's, so we would have, they would sing some songs in Spanish, sing some songs in Tzeltal. In Chavarico, Grayson and Parker preached. Sorry, Grayson, it slipped out. I led a prayer, and we visited, in the evening, we visited Sister Paulina, who needed encouragement. Her husband is not a Christian, and that has been hard on her to remain faithful, so she can use your prayers. And all of us just poured out of the van, sat on their porch, and Elver and Dari preached to her husband. She sat around and do that. Part of that is a society thing. It'd be hard to do here, but they do it there. And the brethren do that. They do the work of the kingdom there. In Suspiro, this is the most rural place we were. Adam preached. I led a prayer. Annie taught the children's classes. We met here right in front of some of the brethren's house. And that's their house. That's their house. Delightful people. And while we're doing this, it's a little hard to say who is local to a given church, because brethren were traveling with us, or to the, like Francisco and Fermina, our hosts, they would go with us. And Ruperto and his family, who kept Dari's family with them, they would go. So a lot of brethren moving to these different places, and it's a very joyful time. What God is doing in Chiapas, 10,000 years. So in Suspiro, it was our last meeting before we left the Hawaka area, and it was on Saturday. We knew we were heading home in a couple days, and we knew it was going to be hard to leave. Wonderful people, and we know we won't see them again for a good while. Hopefully we do see them again soon, but they fed us as always. And again, after eating, we sang, and then one of the last songs, Amazing Grace, we sang the last, this is the Tzeltal dialect, and then we all sang the last verse together. I think the lyrics should show up here. Time that I had singing with other people, but I could not sing. Andy and I were just, it was barely anything we could get out. It was incredible. Friday night, a lot of us went and sang with 1,200 people in Kleinwood, and that was great. This was no less wonderful. I would do this in a heartbeat. So it was hard to leave. We found something wonderful there. It wasn't heaven. It wasn't perfect, but it was a glimpse of where there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. God did that. Our last place that we'll talk about is Gracias a Dios. This is kind of on the way back to San Cristobal. Grayson and Parker were scheduled to preach, but unfortunately were running late from Suspiro. So this was their regularly scheduled time, and so they went ahead with their services. But Laney was able to teach the children's class. And just, there's pictures, there's a lot of children. Tells you something about Elver. He was always with the kids. And that makes me think of Jesus and how he was with the children. There's so much more I could say, and I'm already 5 minutes past time. But this I have to say. So at the end of services, they would have their announcements, if you will, kind of a break, and they'd say announcements. And various people would say announcements, and what a lot of it was saludos from this congregation, greetings from this church or that church. And it's just like the end of all Paul's letters. Greet one another with a holy kiss, which they would do sometimes, depending on, you know, who it was. When you get there, everyone greets literally everyone. And the little kids are involved in it. And different kinds of greetings, shaking hands and slap the back for the men, the women, depending on if they're older or not, a kiss by the cheek and that sort of thing. And then when you leave, it's the same thing in reverse, but you're all saying, Dios lo bendiga, which is God bless you. And so you bless each other as you're leaving. But that there's this, like, it was a machinery to go through everybody like that. You don't get to know anyone that way, but it was warm, it was welcoming. But they carried that through. And that's something for us to think about. We want to be warm, we want to welcome visitors when they come, but we need to be sure that we continue with that. I know that's really hard for me. It's either just a nice greeting, and then it's deep down the rabbit hole of studying, like me and Daria. Like, I love that. I'm not good at the in the between. But we want to be sure that we're receiving one another into our hearts, our homes, our fellowship. With that culture in mind, and how warm they were and welcoming, they send greetings to you. They know that you sent us, and they love you. And they wanted us to send greetings to you. So here, Isaías, he may be the preacher here in Suspiro. He sent greetings. Just the hospitality. This was our first meal at this house. This was the second because the sun went down, so we had to eat again. Santiago is basically blind. He and his family hosted us. A really neat person, joyful person. Kids loved us. They fed us well. They showed Annie a two-handled weed eater, played soccer with us, and this is, I think, the last thing I'm going to be able to say, but during the week, the kids, the Jóvenes, the young folks started this game of freeze tag. You just touch somebody and say, you're frozen, and so you'd be frozen. This is our last night, and they all froze each other because they were finding a way not to leave. They didn't want it to end. Thank you for your attention. There's so much more. There's so many lessons learned. We met these Elvercitos and Daricitos and even Yosmarcitos, the 20-year-old man, young man we were traveling with. There was a child named after him. God did that because they were sharing the gospel with him, and so the people wanted that to be part of their names and their lives. Thank you for your attention. If there's anything we can do for you to help you come to Christ, to strengthen you like we were strengthened there, please come as we stand and as we sing.